Presidential hopeful Donald Trump has been very much for the Brexit. The former mayor of London, the leader of the Leave the EU movement, has been called the Donald Trump of Britain. So today, when Donald Trump stepped to the podium at his Trump Turnberry golf course in Scotland, journalists from around the world gathered for his opinion on today's historic news.
We fully renovated the course, brand new sprinkler system, the highest level. Many of the holes have been jiggered and made even longer.
Well, the journalists had to wait a long time until Trump took questions after talking about his club and said he is for the Brexit. He's also famously against the notion of global warming. But recently, his Trump International Golf Links, which owns his County Clare golf course in Ireland, filed for permission to build a huge seawall to keep back rising sea levels from climate change. The entire golf industry is worried about climate change. The famed Valhalla course in Kentucky put in an underground vacuum system to suck up excess water. Riverbend in Virginia installed huge fans to move stagnant air. Most are changing grasses. Richard Windows is turf agronomist with the Sports Turf Research Institute in Scotland, where the game was born. He's also author of a 131-page report titled Climate Change and Scottish Golf Courses. He joins us by Skype from Glasgow. So, Richard, what are major issues with climate change in golf?
The general problems are that the climatologists are saying that we're going to receive milder, wetter winters with less frost and snow and hotter, drier summers. And we're going to see higher sea levels and greater storm surges. And certainly over the past winter in the UK, we've had 7 or 8 storms that we wouldn't normally have had, which have caused quite a lot of coastal damage, a lot of flooding on low-lying links courses. So these are things that we've seen certainly over the past decade and will become increasingly likely in the future.
So rising seas in the Miami area, for instance, golf courses are talking about, you know, being obliterated by rising water, but also rainfall. And we understand one of the problems is that water pooling on the grass, if it's then hit by heat, it literally boils the roots of the grass.
Yeah, well, flooding and grass doesn't go well together. So effectively, the grass just suffocates. It happens everywhere, certainly on the Ayrshire coast, where the Open Championship is going to be played at Royal Troon this year. We had over a meter of rainfall between late November and late February this year, which is a huge amount of water. In addition to that, we also have these storms and high tides. So we had a lot of flooding down on the west coast of Scotland and the west coast of the UK this year. The situation that we find ourselves in is real, that we're certainly seeing wetter conditions. The grass is growing for longer. Back sort of 10, 15 years ago, greens mowers would be put away in October. Now we're mowing grass up till Christmas. At the same time, we're receiving wetter weather. So the grass is growing more strongly, but we can't get out to cut the turf because ground conditions are so soft and wet underfoot.
Well, the USGA, which is the United States Golf Association, has acknowledged climate change as one of the pressures that the industry's facing. They had a summit in 2012. They've been encouraging more sustainable use of water initially on courses. The Diablo Grande Legends near Modesto out in California actually shut down completely at one point to conserve water when California was going through its tough drought. But there have been summits, there have been conferences, how to better use water, how to better prepare for the future. What are some of the things that are being done?
We do understand that the golf needs to fit into the landscape as opposed to impose itself upon it. So we've always been very sort of judicious with our water and fertilizer and pesticide usage. But I think with climate change, milder, wetter winters and hotter, drier summers, we just need to be more effective how we use water. So better drainage systems in the winter and capturing that winter drainage and storing it for summer uses. But also kind of thinking about the grass type that you've got. Certain grasses require more water than others. So favouring grasses that are more drought tolerant and also more disease tolerant, because warm, mild conditions results in more disease activity.
Some people over here are seeing the change in grasses as a sign of climate change. You're seeing courses in Pennsylvania that are converting to Bermuda grasses. These are the warm weather grasses you mentioned. Previously, they'd only be further in the south. There's also a new grass called 007 because 2007 is the year that it came to be. It was produced by Seed Research of Oregon. It can both survive winter, but spread to tolerate heat and humidity and resist diseases. But are you seeing things like, these vacuums underneath the courses that will suck up excess water, or fans on top?
Well, I suppose we would like to take a more sort of holistic view of things. So fans on top, you would look at, well, why do we need fans in that situation? So if we've got trees and if we've got undergrowth too close to the playing surfaces, and can we manage trees and that undergrowth more effectively to naturally increase light and airflow across the surfaces? And then in terms of underground sort of vacuum systems, a couple of courses over here have installed them in their greens, but they're fairly expensive. So we prefer to think about optimizing the drainage of that particular surface by good aeration practices, good top dressing practices, managing the organic matter correctly.
When the golf courses in California were looking at browning out because of the cutback on water in California, we spoke to a golf expert who said at the time that, well, it'll just be then like Scotland, which in Scotland, we let the grass brown when it's appropriate, when it's really hot. Is that true?
Absolutely true. That's sort of very traditional. The presentation and the look of the golf course reflects the weather conditions that we've had. So if we have an extended period of dry weather in the summer, the golf course naturally browns off. It plays fantastic. But it's absolutely important that we have the right grasses to be able to do that. So our indigenous perennial type grasses, like our fine fescues and brown top bents, they can withstand drought. So they look as though they've died, but they haven't. They've just gone dormant. They've shut themselves down. We get a shower of rain and they bounce back and they green up and they're still alive. So that's very much authentic to how we present our golf courses over here. Green isn't good. You don't play golf on colour, you play golf on grass.
Boy, do you suspect, from what you know of American golf courses and golfers, there's going to have to be a huge change in attitude, because here, green means the greens. And they're green, and they show up on TV during the tournaments as beautiful and green.
I do think that is changing over there. I think you're seeing more browning off, and that's becoming more accepted. I think that will change in the future.
Richard Windows, turf agronomist with the Sports Turf Research Institute in Scotland, also author of a report titled Climate Change and Scottish Golf Courses. And it's a warning. It's a cautionary report. Richard, thank you.
Many thanks. Okay. Cheerio.